You may be curious as to why I'm wearing a tuxedo. With tennis shoes. I would wear the tennis shoes is just because I don't have shiny shoes, so I had to throw the tennies on. But it might actually go to the point of today's lesson. My friend Jim ran a multi-million dollar company, $15 million, wore jeans and a t-shirt to work every day. A couple weeks ago, Tim Woodside and I went to California together, and we attended a worship service. And a lot of the people there were wearing jeans and button-up shirts, polos, t-shirts. Zach Youngblood and I had a discussion after they returned from Hawaii, and we were talking about the church there in Hawaii, and attending the same church there myself at one point. They wear shirts, Hawaiian shirts and shorts to worship service. So it got me thinking a lot about something that my whole life I've considered, thought about, and that's the idea of your Sunday best. Everybody's heard the statement, put on your church clothes. Everybody's heard the statement, your Sunday best. This looks like a typical Sunday. Dressed up in the South, hats, head coverings, suits, shirts, ties. The American people, the U.S. people, spend $12 billion a year on clothing. The average family spends $1,700 a year on clothing. We look good, don't we? We look good. What if I told you that it doesn't matter what you wear to worship services? What if I told you that it doesn't matter the clothes that you put on this morning? Now, before I get thrown tomatoes at, let's cover a couple things really fast. 3 points. Point number one, modesty. What you wear must be modest. Okay, dressing or behaving so as to avoid impropriety or indecency, especially to avoid attracting sexual attention. That's the definition of modesty. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 through 20 says, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body." So rule number one is if you wear something that's immodest, you're not glorifying God with your body. So you have to wear something modest. That does matter. Rule number two, reverence. Reverence is a deep respect for someone or something. Okay? And, it didn't transfer over. In Hebrews chapter whatever, I'll get you later. "Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire." Think about the respect and awe that firefighters have for fire. That's the respect and awe that we should have for God. Firefighters do not take fire lightly. Men and women are killed daily when fighting fires. Even though they have all the equipment necessary to fight them, they still die by the fire. Today, we need to make sure that we have reverence and awe for God, and that should be reflected in our dress as well. The other side note is that our elders have asked that men that prepare to get up here must wear at least a collared shirt. That's something that the elders have asked of us, and so that should be something that we wear in respect for them and that decision as well. Three things, okay? And this is not a lesson about your clothes. It's not about your clothes. It's not about what you chose to wear today, what you chose not to wear today. In fact, let me ask you this question. How long did you take getting ready to get ready for worship service this morning? 38 minutes when I started to finish is how long it took me to get completely ready this morning. Of course, there's helping the kids in there. 38 minutes to get ready for worship service this morning. And that's probably a little longer than average because it takes a minute to throw on a tuxedo. So, how long did you spend preparing to get ready for worship service this morning? We're told in the Bible that we need to be careful about how we judge other people. You've heard this saying, don't judge a book by its cover. Does it really matter what we look like on the outside? And maybe you're getting an inkling into what really matters. In James chapter 2, verse 1 through 7, it says, "My brethren, do not hold your faith in our glorious Lord Jesus with an attitude of personal favoritism. For if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also comes in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who is wearing the fine clothes, and say, 'You sit here in the good place,' and say to the poor man, 'You stand over there or sit down by my footstool,' have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Is it not the rich who oppress you and personally drag you into court? Do they not blaspheme the fair name of which you have been called?" When we look at the way people dress, does that matter to God? Did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? God chose the poor. God chose us. And why did he choose us? What is the purpose for which he chose us? By the money that we make? Did he choose us by what we wear? Or did he choose us because of our hearts? In Matthew chapter 23, verse 5 through 7, it says, "But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassels of their garments. They love the place of honor at banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by men." Do you think that it's about our clothes? Do you think that it's about what time you get to worship services before anybody else? Do you think it's about how many times you've taught class over other people? Do you think it's about those things? Because guess what? That's what the Pharisees did. Their deeds, they did to be noticed by men. For they brought in their phylacteries. What is a phylactery? I got a picture for you. The phylactery is the thing here on the right side of the screen. Remember back in Deuteronomy chapter 6 where God told them to write the words as frontals on their foreheads? Well, that's what this is. The phylacteries were scriptures. So you can see here that it's tied around the Jewish man's head here. That is actually text that is put on those phylacteries. And when they say they broaden their phylacteries, they made sure that theirs were bigger than anybody else's. It was for show. It was not for a heart cause. It was so that they could seem more important than anyone else. And lengthening their tassels, you've probably seen Jewish men wear tassels down, and it signifies different things in the religion. But they would lengthen those because the longer it was, the longer you were in the religion, and the more important you were. So the Pharisees were doing these things. Why? What was the purpose? To be noticed by men. It doesn't matter the different things we have for show if we're doing it to be seen by men. And that's the thing. That's the point. Is that it's not about doing it for man. It's about doing it for God. So let's read in Luke chapter 18, one of the key texts of this morning. Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. And he also told this parable to some of the people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Do you think that there are people in today's society that view themselves as righteous and view others with contempt? Absolutely. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I pay tithes of all that I get, but the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. This Pharisee stood and prayed and said, God, I am good. I have done these things. I am better than swindlers and I'm better than the adulterers and I pay my tithes. Do we not do that today? God, I am so good. I go to church every Sunday. I don't cuss. I don't drink. I don't steal. I am so good, God. Look at all the things that I do for you. Do we not have an arrogance at times of the things that we do for God? It's not about what we do for God. It's about what God did for us. Look at the attitude of the tax gatherer. Unwilling to lift his eyes to the heavens, he beats his breast and says, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. We can dress ourselves up all day long, but we are no better than the tax gatherer. We, the sinner. And often we do. We puff ourselves up and we think that because we have these different things in our lives that we're busy and we have all this stuff going on and maybe we might be successful in life or we're here all the time. We think that we can be better than other people. But we're not. We're not better than others. We're just like the tax gatherer. And we need to understand that we can't dress ourselves up to cover up our sin at all. In fact, we must unclothe ourselves and get down to the pure humility of nakedness and reflect on our sin. That's not literal. We don't get naked, but we need to understand that we need to get to a point to where we are humble and we understand that it's not about the things that we put on ourselves, but that it's about what's inside of us that matters most to God. That's what God wants from us in our lives. It's what's on the inside that counts. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 27 through 28, it says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Let me ask you this question. If you spent 38 minutes getting ready for church this morning to come and get to put on a tuxedo and to make sure that you were ready to go to look good, how long did you spend preparing your heart to come and worship our God this morning? Did you spend any time focusing on God this morning and preparing your heart to worship Him? Or did you just get dressed and come as a routine thing that you normally do at 9 o'clock every Sunday morning? Did you make the effort to get internally dressed and prepared to worship our God this morning? Or are we just like whitewashed tombs? Come, go through the motions, and then leave. Is that what we are? Because that's not what God wants. In fact, Jesus says here, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, who are whitewashed tombs. Are we just empty shells sitting in the pews this morning? Or are we alive and full of fire and ready to serve our God and be ready to serve Him and worship Him in a way that He would want us to worship Him, to sing praise to Him because He is a great God. Remember the awe and respect that we have for Him? He is a great God and He created us and He gave us salvation through the death of His Son that we just partook of the Lord's Supper to remember His death and sacrifice for our sins. That God, that same God, gives us hope and eternal life. Are we on fire for Him? Or are we just a whitewashed tomb, dressed in our Sunday best? Because that's what society has said that we need to do. Is that what we did this morning? Or are you serving God in the way that He wants us to? That's a question that you have to ask and answer yourself. Nobody can ask or answer that for you. You need to answer that yourself. But I'll tell you this. If you spent more time prepping to get ready this morning and cared more about what your appearance on the outside was than getting ready to serve and worship God today, you might want to understand that that's not what matters to Him. What matters to Him is our hearts and the way that we serve Him. In Romans chapter 2, verse 25 through 29, it says, "For indeed circumcision is of value if you practice the law. But if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So if the uncircumcised man keeps the requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be regarded as circumcision? And he who is physically uncircumcised, if he keeps the law, will he not judge you who, though having the letter of the law and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law?" Basically, in not so many uncircumcision words, if somebody over here has physically been circumcised but doesn't do the things of the law, but somebody over here hasn't been circumcised but does the things of the law, doesn't this man by his actions judge that man who has done the physical things necessary to keep the law? But moving forward in verse 28, "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is the circumcision that which is outward in the flesh." That's what Jesus died for. The circumcision is no longer necessary. This is why. "But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God." It's not about the outward show of the circumcision. And as we've been studying in the book of Galatians, that's not what was important anymore. What was important is this, the circumcision of the heart. The cleansing of the heart and serving God by the Spirit. And that is what God wants from us. He wants a pure and ready heart to serve and worship Him. In Romans chapter 8, Mike read this in our class this morning, verse 12 through 14. "So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." We are to be led by the Spirit of God. We are not to do the deeds of the flesh, but we are to focus our minds on the things of the Spirit. We're to do the things of the Spirit and prepare our hearts to serve and worship God. That is what we're supposed to do. It's about what we have on the inside. So don't be a whitewashed tomb living in the flesh. That's not what we're called to do. Rather, we're called to live a life that glorifies God and have a righteous and just heart. So I have something that I want you guys to watch. Maybe you've seen this video. It's a very good video. I want you to just watch it for a moment, and then we'll discuss. There's no sound. When our heart is right, we do the things that God wants us to do. When our intentions are for God's will, it doesn't matter what's on the outside. It only matters that we're serving Him and doing things that glorify Him. Did you see the people looking at the man as he gives his money to the young girl and shakes his head? Doesn't understand why he's giving his money to this young girl. But I can't help but choke up when you see her in her school clothes after her first day of school. When we do things with the right heart, our outward physical appearance, our outward emotions will reflect a good heart. We're told that the tongue is a rudder and it steers our body. We understand that that's a direct reflection of our heart. When we do things with the right heart, that is what God wants from us. That is our Sunday best, is having the right heart, being prepared to serve and worship Him. So let me put this here for you. It's not your Sunday best, but be your best. Always. It's not just about Sunday. It's not just about 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. on Sunday morning and 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on Sunday evening and 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Wednesday evening. It's about 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, living a godly life with a pure and righteous heart to serve our God and follow His will. So you can wear what you desire to on Sunday mornings, on Monday mornings, on Wednesday mornings. You can wear what you want. But let me challenge you this. From here forward, each and every time you prepare to get ready to come to worship service, make sure that you prepare your heart. Make sure you prepare your mind to serve God in a way that would please Him. Because whether you wear a tuxedo or you wear a t-shirt or jeans, your heart is what God wants. And if you do God's will, that will guide the rest of your actions. Because His word should be the guiding light in our life. So this morning I ask you, are you doing your best? Are you more worried about what's on the outside that others see and can feel and can talk to you about? Or are you more worried about what's on the inside that God is going to be the judge of? Because if you're worried more about the physical appearance of this life, then that judgment day may not be the best for you. It's about what's on the inside that God wants the most. Are you doing the things that He wants? If you're not, now's the time to change. Now's the time to focus on serving God and pleasing Him in a way that will make Him happy in what we do. That's what we need to do. If you need help and encouragement from the brethren and sister in here to get your life on track, to make sure that you're focusing more, that's what we're here for. We're here to help each other, to encourage each other. That's what we need to do. And don't think for a second that we don't want to, but sometimes we may not know. Additionally, don't wait for somebody to ask. If you see something, if you see someone that might be in need, take an opportunity to reach out, just as the man in the video took an opportunity to move the plant under the water. He saw something that could be changed and he took action. You can do that same thing. Don't wait for somebody to ask you to help them. Take action and do it now. That's a good heart that God will be pleased with. Take action and don't wait to be asked. If you need help, if you need encouragement, then don't be shy. Ask. The little girl and the mom sat there and they had a sign, humbly sitting there in ragged clothes, and said, for education. They had a need and they asked. If you have a spiritual need, if you have a physical need, if you have a need, ask. Ask and people will help you. That's what we're here to do. We're here to encourage. We're here to teach. We're here to admonish one another. That's the point of the brotherhood. That's the point of why Christ implemented this, so that we can help and support and love one another. So if you have that need, then ask. You can come forward when we sing. You can talk to the elders or anybody after church. You can raise your hand. We'll help. That's what we're here to do. We're here to help and encourage. If you need to be baptized because you haven't decided that God's way is the right way, then we encourage you to do that, because without the baptism for the remission of your sins, then you have not entered into that hope of salvation, and therefore you do not have that relief in your mind that you have, that you can enter into heaven. So we encourage you to be baptized today if you have not yet been baptized for the remission of your sins. If you need help or encouragement in any way, we ask you to come forward or talk to us afterwards as we stand and sing.